Welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure, where we help families plan their adventures, whether it's for a week, indefinite, or anywhere in between. No matter what your budget, we bring you hints and tips from the experts, inspirational stories of families who are living their dreams, as well as must-see highlights from places that we and our guests visit.
And welcome to another episode of the Family Travel Podcast. Today you're joined by Natalie and Michael, and we're recording again in Darwin. We've taken a bit of a holiday from our holiday, and we've actually lined up a three-month house sit. So there's a lot to see and do here in Darwin. Tomorrow we're going for a day trip to Berry Springs, and there's just so many amazing things that are close to the city that we're going to be still holidaying, but at the same time looking after someone's house, someone who's a bit smarter than us. They've gone away in their caravan for 3 months to escape the wet season while we're going to have to endure it.
Oh, but those thunderstorms, though, they've been pretty spectacular so far. So I'm actually looking forward to a Darwin wet season.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool, and the green tree frogs have already made up for it.
Yeah.
So one of the cool things about family travel is the way we started traveling was we saw another family who pretty much looked like us hitting the road for a year. And it was because of that that we thought, well, if they can do it, maybe we could. So when we're interviewing different families, we actually really love hearing about their story, but also seeing the different shapes and sizes. And basically our goal is that we hope other families will say, wow, they're doing it differently. They don't have a stock standard husband, wife, two kids doing a lap of Australia in a caravan for a year. They're doing something different. And that's why today's episode is really cool.
So our guest today, I kid you not, she has been on our must interview list pretty much from the start of our podcast, so about 5 or 6 months, but she's been so hard to pin down because she's always taking off on little adventures. What stood out to us about our guest Lily was that her and her little family, they make the most of any travel opportunity that they get from their home base in Sydney. So quite often this means that it's Lily heading off with her two preschoolers while her husband remains home at work, and then when he gets a chance, he goes off and meets them. So Lily has got the most brilliant blog, which I highly recommend you get on and check out, where she documents all that she's learned from traveling with small kids. So her blog's called Max and Ivy, and she covers all sorts of things, because it goes without saying, really, that she'd have to be pretty organized and on the ball to be traveling with two preschoolers and to keep them entertained for long car journeys. So today we have got her on because we think that she'd be an absolute expert at discussing not only her unique travel situation and explaining a bit more about that, but also talking about her ways, which she has found tried and true methods of keeping kids entertained and under control during long car rides.
Now, before we go, one of our favorite apps for our preschooler, Elliot, is Reading Eggs. Even though it's an educational app, it's also one of his favorites, and we actually have to ration it out. If you visit a bigpeachyadventure.com.au/readingeggs, there's a link there where our lucky listeners can get a free 4-week trial. Anyway, without further ado, here is our episode with Lily from Max and Ivy.
Happy listening. So welcome, Lily from Max and Ivy, to another episode of the Family Travel Podcast.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on. We've been trying to line up an interview with you for a long time, so it's excellent to finally have you on the show.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. Sorry, I was a bit hard to pin down for a little while there, but thanks for having me. I'm here.
Now, apologies from Michael. The joys of traveling with small children is that things pop up, and today he is out walking Eddie, who's been a bit of a monkey with teething and everything. So he sends his apologies. He'd love to be on the show, but he'll hopefully chat to you at another stage.
No worries. I totally understand. I know all about walking laps with prams and babies that don't sleep.
Yeah, so we'll start off with today, talking about walking laps with babies. Tell us a bit about yourself, who's in your family, and the way you travel.
Yeah, for sure. We're a little bit different to a lot of the people that I'm following on your podcast and on Facebook groups and things like that, in that we're not full-time travelling. I'm on the road probably a third of the time at the moment. We're a family of four, and our two kids are 3 and 4 years old. They're 12 months apart. My husband works in Sydney a lot at the moment, and we'll need to do that for the next few years before we head off on our 12-month lap permanently. And in the meantime, I jump in the camper van and head off with the kids and go exploring and do that whilst he's in Sydney. It's a bit of a way to deal with the monotony of raising kids in suburbia, I guess.
Amazing. So you've got the camper van, and do you just take off in your local area, or do you go further afield?
No, we're going further afield at the moment. I'm getting brave now that I've got the van. I mean, before we had the van, it was a RAV4 that I'd load up with two porta cots and a giant double pram and and head off and land at people's places. And it, you know, I felt a little bit like when I arrived at friends' places, I might be in the way a bit, carting all this stuff inside. So I hatched this plan to get a miniature house on wheels so we could arrive and be self-sufficient. So when Ivy, the youngest one, was about 1 year old, we got the van. And it's a game changer, because I do now just have a house on wheels that I can jump in at the drop of a hat and appear anywhere. So, I mean, the last long trip was up to Cairns. We went from Sydney to Cairns, the kids and I. And before that, we did the trip from Sydney down the coast to Apollo Bay, heading to Adelaide, but had a little bit of a breakdown in the roof before we got to Adelaide. So we only made it as far as Apollo Bay. So going further afield.
Yeah, very brave. And I think a lot of people, I guess they think that you have to go travelling as a family and that probably have to wait for school holidays and all that sort of stuff to come up so that you can do it as a family. And I like that you don't wait for those times. You just get the urge and you just go.
Yeah, that's been great.
So what are you travelling in? What camper van do you have?
So I've got a Volkswagen. Yeah, the sleeping arrangements, I tell you, it was hard to find. It was like finding hen's teeth, the old seat four and sleep four camper van, because I wanted something that would fit into a normal car park and be my preschool runaround and my shopping runaround car in downtime. So I've got a Volkswagen long wheelbase transporter with a pop top, and the kids sleep up in the roof and I sleep down the bottom in a, it's like a large double down the bottom that Jeff can also fit in when he's with us. So two up the top, two down the bottom.
Oh, nice and cozy.
Nice and cozy. Yeah, there's not much room. Jeff's 6'6", so when we go around for our 12-month lap, we're going to have to get something a little bit bigger. But right now, this is perfect.
Yeah. I know my dad, he's really tall as well. My parents had a camper van, and I think they did one long trip and came back and bought a caravan because he was swearing he wouldn't get into that thing again with how cramped it can be when you are tall.
Yeah, I definitely notice the difference. I mean, it's actually perfect for the three of us when it's just the kids and I, and it's just a little bit small for long, long trips. It's great for the weekend with all four of us, but a bit small for extended trip.
Yeah, wonderful. And so travelling with a 3- and a 4-year-old, how do you find that? Very brave.
Yeah, well, look, this is what everyone says. When I get bailed up at caravan parks or campsites and people see that it's just me and the kids, they ask exactly that question. And it's actually not so bad. I've figured out a whole bunch of different ways to keep them occupied, and I actually find a long drive day easier than a long rainy day at home in the house, for sure. Podcasts, big, and audiobooks are another thing that I use a lot. So between stories and music and food, they're pretty happy.
Wonderful. So actually that's a good point. What are some of the things you find do keep the kids entertained while you are on long driving days? Because I know with us, Michael is driving and I'm there just handing out food the whole time, breaking up fights, trying to, you know, find different ways to keep the kids entertained and not break down. How do you go about it driving solo?
Yeah, for sure. It's changed slightly since I got the van and lost the rev, because now I can't reach them by reaching back. They're way back at the end of a long wheelbase van, so I can't even throw things at them really successfully. I've tried and it hasn't worked very well. So there's no passing them snacks. I need to have them set up before I get in and start driving. And at the moment, my big ticket items are podcasts and audiobooks. I've got a huge collection of audiobooks on CD and on my phone, and a whole lot of apps that play podcasts as well. And they'll quite happily sit there with a snack box on their lap and listen to stories or podcasts for hours.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what are some of the podcasts you'd recommend for people travelling with under 5-year-olds?
The ABC Kids Listen app. It's all free and it's got new stories every day. there's a podcast on it called Imagine This, which talks about things, great questions actually for kids, things like why is milk white and why is the world round and all these sort of things that kids will ask.
Have no idea about, but...
Exactly. So it answers all their questions, and I actually find it pretty entertaining as well. It's better than listening to, you know, the Play School theme song over and over again.
Yeah, I think actually we listened to one of those, the ABC podcasts, and Michael and I can't remember what the question was, but Michael and I were like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. I think it was about hiccups. Why do people hiccup?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, I did not know that. So we were
like, I don't know most of it. It's surprising. Yeah. So that's my big one. They of course, snacks is always a biggie, and we never do meals when we're stopped. I use stopping to burn up energy, and then we do all meals whilst we're driving because it'll get you 40 minutes down the road quietly and peacefully. So that's another trick that I use.
Snacks are our saviour as well.
Yeah, food all the way. Give them all the food. They'll do 2.5 hours drive, no problems, 2 to 3. And then after that, I need to stop and let them run around a bit.
Yeah. And what are some of the healthy snacks that you find work for small children that they're not going to get absolutely everywhere and keep them pretty happy and are nutritious as well?
Yeah, for sure. I just did a post about this actually and put a big list up of all my faves. But things like popcorn, a lot of fruit, not bananas. Don't do bananas in the back. Bad news. Nuts are another biggie for us. We don't have any allergies, so nuts are a good one. And sandwiches, Vegemite sandwiches. You can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
I try and avoid anything sweet because the sugar high that happens in the back is not fun. So
not worth it.
Yeah, avoid sugar. And I avoid too much dried fruit, you know, for the same reason. The old Sultana high can be pretty radical too.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why we wanted to bring you on today is something that we get asked a lot is about different apps, both that we use to make life easier and also that are good for children, that are both educational and also keep them entertained. And specifically ones that perhaps run without the internet, because Australia's big, there are lots of places without any internet coverage, but also when you're driving, you don't want to have all your data chewed up by YouTube in the back seat, which I have to say we're guilty of at times. Are you able to list off some of the apps that you find useful for yourself and then also some apps that you find useful for your children?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, the one that I do use a lot is WikiCamp. I find most of my campsites through WikiCamp. And the recent trip I did up to Cairns was in school holidays, and I didn't actually book anything in advance. I just used WikiCamp to find places along the way. So that's one of my really big ones. I use Audible a lot to listen to either stories for the kids or for myself. They've got great audiobooks on there, so that's a big one. Playground Finder is also massive. When I arrive in a town that I've never been before and I need to get some energy off the kids, I'll use Playground Finder to find the best playground near me. And they have a rating system, so you can suss out what other parents have said about it and choose one that's going to be decent. Usually anything over a 4-star rating is pretty good. You can't really go wrong.
And are there photos and stuff on that app too?
Not many photos. There is information about whether there's toilets there and barbecues and shade and that type of thing and whether it's fenced, which was huge for me when they were 1 and 2 and they just abscond at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
That was a really big one. So lots of information, not so much photos, but enough information to give you a pretty good idea of what it's about.
And most of the time they're happy with just a swing and a place to run around and anyway and a few sticks, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. As long as they couldn't escape, that was my big one, as long as they could run free and not escape. The ABC Kids Listen app is another massive one. I use that every day in the car. As soon as I get in the car, I turn it on and let the kids listen to that. So that's huge. I've got a few apps that allow you to download books from libraries as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're travelling from place to place, that's great.
Is that nationwide or is that state specific that you can download them?
Yeah, it's nationwide. So BorrowBox is nationwide and Libby is also nationwide, and they're both free. And if you've got a membership in your own local library, you can then use that membership to borrow audiobook from anywhere and it just disappears from your device when your time's up.
I think we'll be adding that one to our list.
Yeah, really handy. That's super handy. When it comes to educational things for the kids to listen to in the car, it tends to be the podcast and not the and not the apps. I mean, I have a whole lot of apps that are perfect for stories when they just want to tune out and listen to a story. And then other times I'll pop the podcast on, and it's a lot of science-based stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's one called Imagine This, which is on the ABC, which is fantastic. There's another one called But Why, which is fabulous. It's just a whole bunch of questions that are asked by kids who are, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, about things they're interested in. And then the woman who produces the podcast seeks out professionals and answers the questions during the podcast episode. So that's fantastic when it comes to teaching them. I mean, other than that, it's a few of the Learn Your ABC and Learn to Count CDs that I play over and over, a bit of lazy parenting, but they can both count to 30 because of the CD, not because of me.
No, that's excellent. Thank you for that. We'll link to those apps in the show notes so people can find them easily. Perhaps talk more about your travel situation. So you were saying that your husband, he works. How does he feel about you taking off on these little jaunts? Or has he just come to know that's part of who you are?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He saw me struggling a little bit after the first year of being at home and just going a little bit stir crazy. And when I sort of formulated this plan, he was right on board with it and thought it sounded great. So, I mean, he would rather know that we're off and exploring and we're happy and fulfilled than, you know, rather than being at home going a little bit stir crazy for the few years that we need to be in Sydney. So we always had a time limit. We knew that there was a 3-year period that we had to stay here and work before we could go travelling permanently. And it was just a matter of how best to get through the 3 years without losing my mind, really, doing the at home with young kids thing. So he's been fabulous and of course, came hunting for vans with me and was right on board with facilitating being able to do that.
Yeah.
And he loves joining us. I mean, he flies in and meets us when we go on the longer trips. I went on a 3-day road trip 2 weeks ago it was more than 2 weeks ago. I went on a 3-day road trip about a month ago that accidentally turned into 3 weeks. And so he flew up to Brisbane and met us, and we went to Australia together. And so that's how we sort of work it at the moment. But he's great. He's very understanding.
Yeah, that's excellent. And what are some of the, I guess, the challenges you find travelling with two children that are so young?
Yeah, for sure. It's a bit tiring. You'd understand this when you're in the same boat, but not having an area that's safe where you can just leave them, like the backyard or their bedroom, and know that they can happily play in there for 40 minutes when I'm on the road, constantly telling them to stop or stopping them from hitting the road or the beach or hassling people in the campsite next to us. It's that being on constantly and never having any downtime. That's a little bit tricky, especially as it's just me. There really isn't any downtime at all. That's the hardest thing probably. And, you know, silly things like just having a shower without kids sitting on my feet when I get home. It's so nice. I have to take them to the loo. I mean, they're not old enough to stand them out the front of the toilet block. So they have to stand in the cubicle with me or stand in the shower with me. And, that can get a little bit boring at times.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it can be a challenge anyway. It's nice to be able to escape them even just for a little bit. Like I find going off and having a shower by myself is my little escape for 5 minutes, and I come back to the madness of the caravan. But you having that all the time, and even them sleeping 2 feet away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fantastic when there's four of us. I mean, it just like you say, when they're asleep, to be able to walk away. I have the old conundrum of once they are asleep in the van, I can't really go very far from it. So I'm sort of chained to the van once they're asleep as well. You can't go off and have a long shower and leave them crash out. So, yeah, there's no getting any distance from the kids at all when it's just me.
And then are there any other challenges or things you have to think about travelling with just you and the two children?
Yeah, I'm usually on I'm always on high alert when it comes to safety. If it was just me or if it was just my husband and I, I'd be a lot more adventurous with going a little bit more off the beaten track and going places where there's no mobile reception. I mean, we'd normally seek those places out, and when it's just me and the kids, I'm definitely reluctant to stay places with no reception. Or if I do arrive somewhere that's a little bit more remote and there's just nobody around, in the old days I would have been cheering, and now I tend to jump back in the car and head off and try and find somewhere where there's people and I feel a little bit safer.
Yeah.
I always, when I do arrive somewhere and there's neighbours, I always say hi and find out if they're staying the night and just sort of gauge how the whole thing feels before I make the decision to stay on for the night.
And
In regards to places that you've been, is there some place in Australia that you can't stay away from? You are constantly pulled to go back there, that you love that much, that you'd tell everyone to go there, that you've visited multiple times and that you'd talk highly of?
Yeah, look, I'm from Byron Bay and up around that area. So I do definitely, this is quite a stretched out area, but I've got to say that the East Coast Road between Sydney and Brisbane, I just do it over and over and over again. And I'd say that all my favourite spots so far are on that route. I mean, I haven't done Western Australia yet, so it's only the places that I've been to, but it's definitely the East Coast and up around Brunswick Heads and Byron Bay and Lennox Head.
Yeah, look, I can totally hear you on that. We got to Byron Bay and we started looking at jobs in real estate. We found out the caravan park, I think they had a deal that was $20 a night or something, and we were like, oh, no, that's it, we're done. We're done with our lap. But then we kept on pushing on. But it was, yeah, such a beautiful part of Australia.
It's such a beautiful spot, yeah.
Yeah, so I can totally hear you there. So plans for the future. You said you recently did the trip up to Cairns, which I enjoyed following along on Facebook, seeing all your beautiful photos as you hit the tropics. What have you got coming up in the future?
The next longer trip with all four of us is over the Christmas school holidays. We're going to be heading south again, doing another trip down the south coast towards Melbourne, sticking to the coast road. And it's funny, like you said before, you know, finding your favourite place. We're actually on the hunt for new favourite places and having another look down there. I did the coast road recently with the kids by myself, but Jeff wasn't with us, and I fell in love with so many of the places, and I was itching to get him back down there with us so I could show him. So all of us, including the dog, are doing that coast road down to Melbourne around Christmas time. So that's the next long one that we've got planned.
Lovely. I have that same problem too. I fall in love. If the sun is shining, I'm just in love with the place. I think I've gave my heart to about 50 places up along the east coast of Australia that I have to go back to. Have you been to Barwon Heads?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, add that to your list. It's a little bit further south of Melbourne, but that was the first place I probably fell in love with. A great caravan park, and yeah, just a real good little vibe to the area. Beautiful beaches.
Okay, I'm going to add that to the list. Fabulous.
So thank you very much for talking to us today. I think what we love about you is that you demonstrate that travelling doesn't have to be a long-term thing, and you don't have to make drastic changes to your life to let it happen. Like I know a lot of people talk about renting out their house for a year or selling up and selling all their belongings, but you had the need to travel and you just worked out a way to be able to do it and incorporate it into your normal life, which we love, and hopefully it inspires people to listen today.
I hope it does inspire people to listen. That was the whole purpose of starting the blog and doing that, was to try and create a bit of a toolkit for people who want to escape and just have this vision, like you mentioned earlier, that it's way too hard or it's way too expensive or you need to quit your job or it has to be full time. And it's me trying to communicate with people that it's not as hard as it sounds, and you don't have to have a flash ban. You can do it in your old Hyundai. You know, it's giving people tools to be able to jump in the car and just head off for a long weekend and do the weekend warrior thing and absolutely love it, and for them to realise that it's a lot easier than it actually sounds.
Yeah, so you have got a brilliant blog and I love it, and I know it's helped a lot of people because you cover pretty much everything there is. I think if there's a topic about travelling with kids, you've got a blog post on it. So could you tell our listeners where they can find your blog and where they can find you on the other social media channels?
Yeah, absolutely. So the blog is maxandivy.com, and our Facebook page is also Max and Ivy. Instagram is all of our beautiful photos. It's more about our adventures, whereas the blog, I try and keep it, as I said before, a bit of a toolkit, so it's functional, practical, useful information for people that are heading off. Instagram is called Max and Ivy on the Road, and that's a daily photo of our adventures and what we're up to. And I am on Twitter, but I'm not that active, so you're probably not going to find it very interesting.
Me too. I think I'm still a miss on that on my Twitter account. That's how much love it's had. I've been married for 8 years.
That's right. Well, look, all of the links to my Pinterest, my Facebook, and my Instagram accounts are on the blog page on the front page. So when you do pop on and have a look, you can easily just link straight through to any of the other social media pages.
Excellent. Look, thank you so much for joining us today. Do you have any last messages that you want to put out there for people listening in today that are maybe worried that you know, they can't go travelling for a bit or anything like that, or they want to get out more?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Look, don't wait until you go permanently. Don't wait until you've got an expensive car or a flash van. Just start having little adventures on the weekends and figuring out what you need to know before you go, I guess, is the big one. And if you can do 12 months or 2 years or 5 years of sleepless nights with kids and babies and toddlers, then you can absolutely drive to Cairns with two preschoolers. It's so much easier.
That's so true. As someone who's been up all night with a teething toddler, yep.
Yeah, that takes the cake. I know the whole road tripping with young kids really freaks people out, and everyone will tell you that you're crazy. But honestly, if you've got young kids, then you've done harder stuff than road tripping already. You're past to that point. So just crack on and have a go and ask away. Like ask the other travelling families on the forums. I've found following everybody, including you, on Facebook so helpful when it comes to just being able to ask questions from people that who have done it before.
And people love helping. They love giving advice. So that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's really into sharing what they know and helping everybody else get out there. I find it's a great community for that. So just ask away, read everything you can get your hands on and start getting out there. You don't know what you don't know until you go.
That's exactly right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. That was brilliant having you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Nice to chat.
Thank you for listening to A Big Peachy Adventure, Families Travelling Full Time. What drives us is hearing of those we've inspired to simplify their life and take the first step towards their travelling goals. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your travelling buddies. Don't forget to click subscribe and also please leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. Please leave a comment and let us know what we can do better. If you'd like to connect with us personally or have any questions, you can find us on Facebook at A Big Peachy Adventure. See you on the road and happy travels.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.